Welcome to the Counseling Convos podcast, where we delve into the fascinating world of psychology and counseling. In this episode, we will explore the topic of AI. Do we fear it? Accept it? Integrate with it? Join me, your host, Jirius Shaheen, LPC, as we navigate this episode's title, Beyond AI. Welcome back, listeners. In this segment, we'll discuss the origins of AI anxiety, from science fiction to real-world applications. How has AI become a source of fear for some individuals? Let's dive into the roots of AI anxiety. It's fascinating how something born out of imagination and sci-fi novels has now seeped into our everyday lives. The fear of AI isn't new. It's been brewing in our collective consciousness for decades. But what exactly sparked this fear? Was it the portrayal of the Terminator or the Matrix? Or is it the rapid advancement of technology that seems to blur the lines between fiction and reality? What do you think is the genesis of this AI anxiety? I recall the first time I watched the movie Metropolis. It was released in 1927, and it showcased a futuristic city sharply divided between the working class and the city planners. The son of the city's mastermind falls in love with a working class prophet who predicts the coming of a savior to mediate their differences. The movie itself, the poster of it, has a cityscape with this robotic, feminine-featured face, or kind of a robot figure face in the front of the poster. And as you watch the movie, you get a sense of some type of change that's needed, some type of change that's brewing between your common day individuals that are just doing their part in this large kind of city-oriented society, not really knowing their place, but they know they're part of something big, kind of like a cog in a machine. And then these planners, or these kind of elite members of society that live in these skyscraper buildings, and they don't quite know what's going on in the rest of the world beneath them. And so this division, this sort of societal division or socioeconomic division, is brought together by this integration of technology. This idea that technology is going to improve things. And in the middle of the movie, you see this transition happening where this individual, this character, becomes or transitions or integrates with technology to become a new type of creation. As you're watching this movie, it does feel sort of ominous. It feels strange to see this transition happening. There's a discomfort. Why is that? Where does that source from? This idea of witnessing the other, or witnessing something different outside of what we're used to and familiar with. This angst is not something new. Anytime we perceive or see something that is even slightly different than what we're used to, we grow uncomfortable, we aren't sure about things, or we grow uncertain, and so therefore we do not want it. We do not want to be around it until it proves its value to us, until it proves its necessity for us. Why do we need it? Can we trust it to fill our needs? Can we trust that it won't harm us? And just like anything, there's a risk that comes with trusting something. There's a risk with starting a new job. There's a risk with joining a new family. There's a risk in any big decision that you make. In this decision, it's a collective societal decision to integrate with something new, or to leave it behind, or create boundaries, or to create some sort of ethical boundaries for it. There's also a psychological impact of AI fear. The psychological effects of fearing AI, from feelings of inadequacy to this sort of existential angst, we want to try to understand, how does the fear of AI, or integration with something new that is perhaps faster or more cognizant than than we are, even as humans. What sort of impact does that leave on our mental health, or impact does it have on our mental health? This sort of angst comes about anytime there's a new sort of experience happening. When some of the first computers started coming out, when a new type of philosophy emerges, societally, when a new type of civil engineering comes about, the way we build buildings even, or construct parks. There's a type of balance or a dance that happens between fearing this new thing and trusting it over time. So what might these psychological repercussions be of fearing AI? It's not just about the fear of robots taking over the world. It's about the fear of losing control, becoming obsolete in the face of technological progress. This fear can manifest in various ways, from heightened anxiety to a sense of powerlessness. But what's truly concerning is its impact on mental health. Many individuals grapple with feelings of inadequacy already, fearing that they can't keep up with the pace of technological advancements. They can't keep up with their workplace changes or training. They just can't keep up with the ever-changing culture or society. Others might experience a type of existential angst, questioning their place in the world that's dominated by machines or machine learning. So how do we navigate these complex emotions? It's much like anything else. Again, these experiences are not new. It's the variables that change. So with experiencing existential angst, questioning our place in the world, some people might go out in the country or out in the desert and look up in the sky and see the huge universe and the stars, and they may shake in their boots. They might grow very scared because they don't know their place in the universe, while others may stand out there and they are just filled with awe and empowerment and inspiration, because in their mind's eye, they do know their place in the universe. So it has less to do with new advancements in technology, even navigating ethical questions, because we've navigated ethical questions as a society before. And we've been able to sometimes improve, sometimes not improve, but we have this sort of balance or stabilization over time. So questioning existential angst, or perhaps even fearing a sense of powerlessness or loss of control, and so we have heightened anxiety, we're able to redirect that energy and try to find stabilization, de-escalation, using coping skills to mitigate or manage these heightened states of anxiety and angst. So how do we navigate coping skills? Coping skills is a term that's thrown around left and right in the mental health field, and different therapists, they land on different sets of coping skills that help people. There's evidence-based practices that help as well, a universal blanket that says these are the strategies we use professionally. So with managing AI anxiety, again, AI being a variable, anxiety being the principal diagnosis, whether it's mindfulness techniques, seeking professional help, these strategies can help individuals employ or mitigate their fear of AI. There's a balance to that as well. There's an element of paranoia, but also there's some real underlying stressors that are happening. So let's look at these coping strategies. Coping with anxiety isn't easy, but it's not impossible either. One approach is mindfulness, learning to stay present and grounded amidst the whirlwind of technological advancements. Can you believe that there was a time in history where a law was passed that said, no more technological advancements, no more inventions, we've invented everything and we don't need any more? Well, that law was quickly banished within 6 months, and people began to create technological advancements and inventions yet again. Another is seeking professional help. A therapist can provide support and guidance in navigating these complex emotions. Our emotions are not what they seem. They're not always just this or that, black and white, sad, angry, mad. There's complex emotions that sometimes we aren't 100% sure how to navigate alone. Let's not forget about the power of community. Connecting with others who share similar fears can provide validation and solidarity. So whether it's practicing mindfulness, seeking therapy, or finding support in community, remember that you are not alone in this journey. Whether it's specific to AI or anxiety in general, together you can navigate the uncertainties of the digital age. Overcoming resistance. Whether it's skepticism or fear of change, how can individuals overcome their reluctance to embracing technology? Specifically in this case or this topic in episode AI, artificial intelligence. Let's address this. Resistance to AI acceptance, despite its potential benefits, many individuals remain skeptical or even fearful of embracing AI. When we say AI, it could be tools like ChatGPT, it could be learning algorithms or machine learning technologies. And so there are fears of job displacement, concerns about privacy and security. These are valid reasons. There are valid reasons behind this reluctance. But staying stuck in resistance only hinders progress. So how can we overcome these barriers and open ourselves up to the possibilities that AI offers? A good way to do this is to explore the possibilities and embracing AI in your industry. Integrating or using it as an aid, not from the perspective or fear or paranoia that this will be a job replacement effort, although there may be a future or an alternate future where certain positions or tasks can be improved with AI. The idea is to see a future or visualize a future where it could supplement and create a better society. Embracing AI in counseling. What does that look like? From virtual therapy sessions to AI-driven interventions, we want to look at see how counselors can leverage AI to better serve their clients. In the world of counseling, we want to see how we can fit AI into the therapeutic landscape. Believe it or not, AI is already making waves in the counseling field. From virtual therapy sessions to AI-driven interventions, but what does this mean for counselors and their clients? How can AI enhance the therapeutic process and improve outcomes? With virtual therapy sessions, AI-driven virtual therapy platforms use natural language processing and machine learning algorithms to provide therapeutic support to individuals. These platforms can offer counseling or version of counseling, a type of counseling that is maybe quick, fast, even faster than brief counseling, solutions-focused counseling, through the lens of a type of virtual avatar, providing immediate access to mental health and resources and support. We understand and know that there's a huge need for mental health support, and while not everyone is a licensed professional, we can provide the basics for the guiding principles of counseling and psychology in a quick, connective sort of way through virtual avatars or chatbots. Let's look at another example, mood monitoring and analysis. AI-powered applications can analyze users' speech patterns, facial expressions, and other behavioral cues, much like a therapist, to assess their emotional state and detect signs of mental health issues such as depression or anxiety. This can be used to provide personalized recommendations for self-care strategies or interventions. Now, what if a counselor wanted to use AI as a supplemental tool? Well, we can create personalized treatment plans. AI algorithms can analyze large data sets of clinical outcomes and patient characteristics to identify patterns and trends in treatment effectiveness. This information can be used to develop personalized treatment plans tailored to each individual's unique needs, preferences, circumstances. And the nice part about it is that we know that a treatment plan changes over time. So based on the effectiveness of that treatment, new interventions or change in interventions could be implemented. Therapist support tools. AI-powered tools can assist therapists in various aspects of their practice, such as scheduling appointments, documenting session notes, and tracking client progress. These tools can streamline administrative tasks, allowing therapists to focus more on developing high-quality care to their clients. Predictive modeling for risk assessment is another way. AI algorithms can analyze multiple factors, such as demographic information, medical history, and social determinants of health, to predict individuals' risk of developing mental health disorders or experiencing relapse. This information can help clinicians identify at-risk individuals early on and intervene proactively to prevent adverse outcomes. Virtual reality exposure therapy. AI-driven virtual reality, VR, simulations can create realistic environments and scenarios to expose individuals, their fears or triggers, in a controlled and safe setting. This immersive approach allows therapists to conduct exposure therapy sessions more effectively, more efficiently. This helps clients overcome phobias or PTSD and other anxiety-related disorders. Behavioral intervention. AI-powered mobile applications can deliver real-time behavioral interventions and support to individuals struggling with mental health issues. These applications use personalized algorithms to deliver tailored interventions, such as CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy exercises, mindfulness practices, or relaxation techniques. It's based on the user's needs and preferences. Now, before you freak out, apps have been used for a long time. Apps such as DBT Coach, among others, provide a type of tailored approach to practice skills every single day. So this is not replacing anyone, but rather supplementing the experience. This next one's a little different. Sentiment analysis of social media data. AI algorithms can analyze social media data to identify individuals at risk of mental health crisis or experiencing distress. Now, this might sound a little too sci-fi, but if your data already exists and it can keep you from harming yourself or harming others, it might be something to consider. By monitoring users' posts, comments, and interactions, AI systems can flag concerning patterns or expressions of distress and alert appropriate mental health professionals for intervention. Of course, this would have to be at the consent of the individual, and privacy would have to be kept in mind. So let's look at a quick overview of practical utilizations of AI. You want to consider AI perhaps in constructing progress notes, not creating progress notes, but constructing them. So you're already taking process notes, you know, or maybe if you're new to the field, not so certain about clinical terminology or how to phrase things in a type of way. So you can use AI to help construct progress notes and kind of be a supplemental tool in knowing how to phrase things in a professional manner. The ability to provide a therapist with also indexed evidence-based interventions by scanning the intake data and helping co-create a treatment plan with interventions. Right now, a lot of systems use the Wiley index. With AI, you'd be able to search the entire index and see which ones make the most amount of clinical sense based on this intake assessment. AI could also provide insight regarding training that perhaps a therapist might need to utilize. It may notice changes in progress notes or content or interventions that aren't maybe best suitable for the client, and it would be able to, rather than change it immediately, provide suggestions and ideas for ongoing training for the therapist to improve. Last but not least, this is the best example of AI. It could take a look at the entire EHR and search for human error, gaps, missing pieces, and construct a game plan perhaps on what you need to do, what the clinician's next steps would be. It might flag something and say, make sure by the next session you're connecting with the client to get this authorization or to complete this next assessment that's coming due. A little bit more than just a notification system, but rather it's constantly overviewing and looking through and scraping that data and walking alongside the therapist. These are just a few examples of how AI is already being integrated into the counseling and mental health therapy field, with the potential for even greater advancements and innovations in the future. What do you think? Do you fear these changes? Do you want them to happen? maybe you want to be somewhat cautious of integrating AI into your practice or your agency. There's a lot of different resources out there. Do some research. See perhaps ways that you could slowly integrate, and if it feels like it's a little too much, maybe step back a little bit. Or don't use it at all. It really is dependent on your level of comfortability, keeping in mind legal aspects of confidentiality and privacy as well. All right, well, thank you for joining me today in today's episode. If you found this episode informative and engaging, be sure to subscribe and tune in to future episodes where we'll continue to explore important topics related to mental health. Until next time.